6 to 8 p.m. and Saturday from 2 to 6. Information available at 337-7704 or on the web at thecorkscrew.com. Programs on WILL are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, with the Summer Studio Theater Company's repertory season of My Three Angels, Last of the Red Hot Lovers, and Broadway, currently playing in the Studio Theater. For information, contact the Krannert Center ticket office at 800-KCPA-TIX, 800-527-2849, or visit KrannertCenter.com.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to WILL AM 580. This is the Information Advantage, broadcasting from the College of Communications here on the University of Illinois campus. This is Focus 580. I'm setting in today for your regular host, David Inge. My name again is Todd Gleason. We'll talk this hour about the Farm Progress Show with Stu Ellis of University of Illinois Extension and Matt Youngman, who is the National Shows Manager for Farm Progress Companies. That's the organization that puts together the Farm Progress Show. Welcome, gentlemen, and we thank you for being here today.
Glad to be here, Todd.
Matt, let's start with you. Tell me what Farm Progress Show is, how long it's been around, some history of this particular item that's been an icon in the Midwest.
The Farm Progress Show started in 1953. It started as a value-added opportunity for the advertisers in Prairie Farmer Magazine. Prairie Farmer Magazine is the oldest continuously running ag publication in the country, and in 1953 they formed a trade show. We formed a trade show to demonstrate the new products and technology that were coming along. Started in Armstrong, Illinois in 1953, and they planned for about 10,000 people, and when 50,000 showed up, it proved itself to be a success, and it's been a success ever since.
How long have you been show site manager?
I was the Farm Progress Show manager for 97, 98, 99. And then have had a couple different positions in the company, and now I'm the National Shows Manager, which means I have oversight of the Farm Progress Show as well as our other three shows that the company owns.
And those three shows are what?
Husker Harvest Days, which is held in Grand Island, Nebraska in the middle of September, and then our Hay Expo, which this year was in Northeast Iowa just a couple weeks ago, and New York Farm Show, which is held in Syracuse in February.
The show indicator will be a different show to some extent because this is the first time that you've had a permanent site in the state of Illinois. Tell me how you came to the conclusion of putting a permanent site in Illinois and then why Indiana was not included in the rotation.
Well, what we decided was that after a few rainouts and things that began to guide us towards these permanent sites, we decided that rather than have one single site that the show rotated, that ended the rotation, we would cover the territory of Iowa, Illinois, Indiana better with two permanent facilities. To build three permanent facilities, it's not really worthwhile to invest a lot of money into it because you're only there every third year. Whereas if we build a site in Iowa and build a site somewhere relatively close to the Illinois-Indiana border, that allows for more infrastructure to be built, and it allows the exhibitors to feel like they have more of a home. And we looked for sites all along the Illinois and Indiana border and settled on Decatur because of the opportunities that we had there and a lot of the infrastructure capabilities that we could have as we built a site there in Decatur. And it's really driven from the fact that these exhibitors, some exhibitors, have a line item for the Farm Progress Show of $1 million or more, and that's just trucking and setup and hotel bills and displays and things like that. So we want to make sure that the money that those exhibitors invest is wisely spent, and we don't put them in a position where you could have what happened in 2003 where they invest this money and then two out of the 3 days rain out.
Hey, listeners, just as a reminder, we're talking about the Farm Progress Show this morning with the National Shows Manager for Farm Progress Publications, Matt Youngman, who you just heard. Along with us in studio is Stu Ellis, who works for University of Illinois. He's in the Macon County Extension Unit. And Stu had a great deal to do with putting together the proposal that brought the Farm Progress Show to Decatur. Stu, can you tell me a little bit about how that came about and some of the history there as well?
I was at that show in Danville a couple of years ago near the Indiana border when it got rained out and raised sort of a flag in the community in Decatur saying, hey, why couldn't Decatur be a permanent home, put in a permanent facility for Farm Progress Show? A lot of people saluted the flag and got really some community conversation started about it, and visited with Matt's colleagues at Farm Progress and said, what's the chance of coming here? The upshot of that was, well, we might consider Decatur in 20 years, and because we want to be somewhere in the middle of that for some time down the line. So didn't think a whole lot about it, but when they called back and said, would you put in a bid, we indeed put in a bid and tried to make sure that we were the best site of all of those that were going to be considered.
And the best site includes, well, not dirt roads anymore.
No, it's not. We're really putting together what Matt calls a high-tech outdoor convention facility. And this is on the northeast corner of Decatur. If folks are familiar, generally, where Richland Community College is, just north of the Archer Daniels Midland Processing Complex, we're putting together really what the community is calling Progress City. That's the exhibit field. The whole footprint that Farm Progress will have is about 640 acres. But in that 80-acre Progress City area, we're building an iceberg almost, underground water mains, underground sanitary lines, underground storm sewer, underground electric and telecommunications grid, and so along with above ground, permanent heated and air-conditioned restrooms. There's a lot of construction that has gone on for the past several months, and it's going to be a facility that will be used by Farm Progress here at the end of August and by, we hope, many, many other organizations for a wide variety of events in that venue over time.
Matt, tell me, when are the dates for Farm Progress Show this year?
Farm Progress Show is August 30, 31, and September 1st. And Stu could probably tell us exactly how many days that is.
59 days and 13 hours right now.
Stu keeps a running total of that in his office just to keep my blood pressure up.
Yeah, in fact, I should tell folks that you two share an office there at Richland Community College. Is that correct?
That's right. We've not started picking out curtains.
No.
but we do share an office.
I'm usually not there enough to where we'd want to do any decorating.
Yes, indeed. How will the show site differ? And maybe, Matt, you could tell us what a typical show site was like. And remember that many of the folks that are listening probably have never been to a Farm Progress Show and have no idea really what we're talking about. If you could tell them a little bit about what Tent City is, what the show site looks like, how many vendors there might be, what kinds of equipment and other sorts of things are there.
Well, that's a great point. The Farm Progress Show for the last 52 years has been a rotating show, and what that means is we would pick a host community, a host farmer, and then take a cornfield of his, take a few cornfields of his that would total the 80-acre Tent City area, and literally build a small city in there. We would string in phone lines, string in electrical lines, put in a water system. Lay out streets, albeit dirt streets, that, you know, we wouldn't change any of the topography of the ground to accommodate any special drainage or anything like that. Basically, in a standing cornfield, or in what was a cornfield the year before, we would build this city. And then once the show was over, we would tear all of that infrastructure back out and turn it back into a cornfield. And the show would go to a new location the next year. And the upside to that was that we were always bringing the Super Bowl of agriculture to a brand new community. It went to a brand new community every time every time the show moved, it went to a brand new community every year. And there was always a lot of excitement around that and a lot of novelty to it and a lot of hype as the facility would be built. The downside to that was that because it needed to be turned back into a cornfield, because it needed to turn back into production agriculture, we couldn't do the upgrades that Stu spoke of, the rock and the permanent infrastructure, the permanent utilities. That was something that we couldn't do because we needed to hand it back over to the host farmer to be a farm field again the next year. So the 250,000 tons of rock that have been placed out there is the first step in making this exhibit field permanent so that we have a little bit more weather readiness. There's no such thing in an outdoor event as anything being weatherproof, but this facility is as weather capable as anything we could have hoped for.
We had 3 inches of rain here several weeks ago, and the engineers all did high fives because it drained.
That's exactly right.
Hey, listeners, if you're interested in joining our conversation, you may at 1-800-222-9455. That's toll-free anywhere in our listening area. 800-222-WILL, that's 9455. Or locally, if you'd like to call 333-9455, please do so. We're talking about the Farm Progress Show this morning with Matt Youngman and Stu Ellis. Stu works for U of I Extension, and Matt works for Farm Progress Companies. They share an office space in Decatur at Richland Community College, just outside the new show site. Tell me, how much does the new show site cost?
The show site, the budget that I believe the last one I saw was $6.5 million. We had had it up to $10 million at one time. There were a lot of things in there that we didn't need, and so we pared it back. All of this is being paid by a variety of funds, some of it from a state economic development grant, a lot of local funds from business and industry, some in-kind services, some personal and small business contributions. We did just about everything we could to raise money short of having a bake sale.
And Decatur's very happy and proud to have this in their hometown.
Very much so. I started working on this about 20 months ago, and really it became at a very high peak in March of last year when we were asked to put in a bid. And at that point I knew we had to create a show site that Farm Progress would want and to get them here to have the community pay for it. And so everywhere we went, and I say we, I have a colleague, Randy Prince, who was at that time Executive VP of the Macon County Farm Bureau, who is now President of the Chamber of Commerce. But the Randy and Stu show went to numerous companies and individuals seeking any type of support that we could get. And a lot of folks said, well, not sure what the Farm Progress Show is, but it sounds like a great idea. Sign me up. And we took that around, and when some people saw that other organizations had signed on, they did as well. And it was a snowball that was going downhill at a pretty good clip. And at that point, community support has been there all the way along. I've been a resident of Decatur for a little over 30 years, broadcast journalist there for half of that time. And I can remember a number of community initiatives that were ground to a halt by NIMBY, not in my backyard. And this was one of those community initiatives that has not yet heard any NIMBYs mentioned by anyone.
I do recall listening to you on the radio on, I think, both WSOY and WDZQ. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, as a farm broadcaster, I grew up in Elkhart, Illinois, and tuned in to listen to Stu Ellis give the markets. And now I suppose I do that from time to time myself. We have a listener from Moultrie County on the line with us. Good morning. Do you have a question for our guest this morning?
Yeah. In the past, you've had volunteer food vendors and that type of thing. Are you going to use a permanent or a contracted vendors this year?
Matt, do you have an answer for that question?
Absolutely. That's a cornerstone of the Farm Progress Show, is that nonprofit organizations from the area get involved in food service and parking cars and taking admissions. And I must compliment the nonprofit organizations in Macon County. We had 29 open slots for nonprofit organizations, and Stu, I believe the number was over 80. That signed up to be a part of the Farm Progress Show. So we have over two shows worth of nonprofit organizations that have signed up to help work the show. So just thrilled with that. That's some years that's a hard thing to get a handle on. Are all of the 1,200 people that are going to be out there doing the work to put together the show, and that's been the turnout for that in the Decatur area has been tremendous.
But Matt, I think the risk management concept for a lot of those volunteer groups is one of the key things that you've resolved with using one catering company.
That's exactly right. In the past, the Farm Progress Show would come to town, and the manager would meet with some churches and say, well, I'll give you this spot on Central, and you guys go right ahead and set up your displays and cook your food and have at it. What we ran into in 1986, which is the only time the Farm Progress Show has rained out completely, was that there were a number of churches that had leveraged themselves financially in order to serve the food and have the kind of staff and have the kind of supplies available, that when the show completely rained out, there were a lot of churches that were in pretty dire financial trouble. And so we immediately brought the show back in 1987 to sort of bail those groups out. And from that point forward, we went to work on finding a single caterer who could provide the capital and the supplies and the equipment, and then we would have nonprofit organizations staff all the food service and do all the cooking. And what that did was it put all of the risk on that one entity and then allowed the nonprofit organizations to make money, earn money at the show, but not be exposed to any of the risk of any of the weather events that can happen at the Farm Progress Show. So it's helped from that standpoint, and it's also helped from a health department standpoint.
If you'd like to join our conversation this morning, the numbers are 800-222-9455. That's toll-free anywhere you can hear us, 222-9455, the 800 number, or locally, 333-9455. Of course, we're in the 217 area code. We have a caller in Urbana joining us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. The audience for the Progress Show might be mainly farmers and the farm community, but I suspect that the non-farm community is invited, and I wonder if your guests would discuss what the non-farm community will experience and find useful if they come to the farm show. And I'll hang up and listen to the comments off the air.
Thank you very much. Stu, why don't you try that first, and we'll let Matt take a shot at it, too.
There are many, many things that are in agriculture that also affect consumers and the non-farm public. And let me mention two that I'm working on that right off the bat. One of those is a series of educational seminars put on primarily by Extension. Yes, there will be farm marketing seminars and farm management seminars, but there are also a number on nutrition and health, on family living, such things as intentional harmony in the family, such things as stress management. We have one that's an interactive seminar on the new USDA food guide pyramid, another one on how to find child care. Those issues certainly cut across non-farm and farm issues. Another area that we're doing is a rural health initiative, and while we call it rural, because a lot of farmers really need to take a little bit more care of their health than they do, we realize that a farm family's health is not going to be any different than that of a non-farm family. And so if folks come by, there are 10 different screening tests that they can avail themselves of, all the way from blood pressure and cholesterol to such things as bone density and body fat measurement. We'll do just about everything you would do in a doctor's office except ask them to turn their head and cough.
And those are all things that University of Illinois Extension is involved in. Of course, Stu, we probably should remind folks that not only were you involved in bringing this show to Decatur as a civic leader to some extent, but also work for University of Illinois Extension, and so that you're involved in a number of things that are happening at the show site.
And we've certainly tried to integrate all Extension services into many of those. And so wanting to put a good face for the University of Illinois and University of Illinois Extension on the Farm Progress Show, we've just had the opportunity to do that. And thanks to Extension for letting me spend full time here since the 1st of January working on this.
Probably important at this time to remind folks who I work for as well. I do not work for the radio station. I work for University of Illinois Extension and am a farm broadcaster here at the radio station as well as other places around the nation. Nation, I help out bringing extension specialists in entomology and crop production and food sciences and all sorts of things. And Stu and I both happen to sit on a panel that has been working on putting the Purdue University and University of Illinois programs together for this particular show.
And that's something that we've done at Matt's request, and Matt could certainly chime in here, but with the linkage between Illinois and Indiana, we wanted to make sure that Indiana farmers felt very comfortable coming to Decatur because we have Purdue integrated into the Farm Progress Show with extension seminars and farm safety and health and all of that. And so everything that we have been working on as far as Illinois and for the U of I and Illinois farmers, we've tried to do the very same thing for Indiana farmers throughout the state because they certainly look to Purdue for their guidance, and that Purdue guidance is going to be here. It's a joint farm show. It's an Illinois-Indiana farm show.
Matt, Stu's done a very good job of laying out what the land-grant universities plan to do or have in part planned to do at the Farm Progress Show at the end of August, first day of September. What's the rest of the show site look like, and what can others that are coming who aren't farmers envisage as they travel out throughout that 80 acres?
Well, to what you gentlemen were speaking of, I must pay a compliment to Stu and all the work he's doing on the health screening and also the Purdue and University of Illinois Extension exhibits there at the show. That's going to be it's going to be probably the most comprehensive land grant program we've had at this show in its history, simply because of the collaboration between the University of Illinois and Purdue. When it comes to the rest of the commercial exhibits and the last gentleman's call, you know, for folks who aren't involved directly in agriculture, there's still a lot to learn when you walk around that show, and it gives you a better feel for what happens to those crops that you see out growing in the field and the machinery that it takes to do it, and the size and scope of the machinery is what is so impressive. It's huge machinery, and I should say that the primary focus of the show, while it's not directly related to you know, folks who live in the city or just outside of town, it is the trade show for people that are involved in the industry of agriculture. Every industry has its trade show, and the Farm Progress Show is the trade show for farmers. So you'll see everything that's involved in crop production and a lot of things that also cross over into folks that do not farm. You know, there'll be a lot of all the Detroit companies will be there, and all of the lawnmower companies will be there, and folks like that. There are plenty of commercial exhibits that anyone would like to visit as well.
Is it family friendly there?
It is family friendly, and Stu is doing some great work on a kids camp. Go right ahead, Stu.
Appreciate that. We want to make sure that over time, the typical attendee, the Farm Progress Show, has a little bit of a change in the culture. And instead of driving in for one day, maybe come for 2 days or two half days or two three-quarter days or something like that. And because of family issues, it may be the fact that, farmer in the family, who generally may be the male, leaves the spouse at home because there's a young child. What we're doing this year is having a pilot program with the help of the Decatur Park District to establish a kid camp. And from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, you can provide us with your grade school-aged youngster. And we will provide recreational and educational opportunities for them. That may allow the spouse maybe more of a family effort to come. Chances are kids who are over, who are in middle school and up, may want to indeed pick up yardsticks along with dad. Probably kids who are younger than kindergarten would probably want to stay with mom and dad at their insistence. But those grade school age youngsters, we're going to take care of them at least a maximum of 40 a day. We'll have reservations for. We'll do this on a registration and first-come, first-served basis. And so people who want to do that, that may allow some families to come who wouldn't ordinarily get a chance to come. And if it's successful this year, we will get bigger and better next time around and see that if over time that actually provides Farm Progress to change the culture of the attendee.
How do you register or pre-register to have your child in that camp?
I appreciate that opportunity. We're doing this through University of Illinois website in extension in Macon County. In your web browser, if you plug in the words Farm Progress and Macon extension, you'll come up with the website that I've prepared for the Farm Progress show. There is a summary of the kid camp opportunity. Late yesterday, I was working on the exact registration form and a liability waiver. Those aren't up yet, probably sometime early next week. And at that point, registration will open up. And so that'll be an opportunity. But don't try it today or over the weekend. I just don't have the registration form there. But probably beginning next week after all of the entities and everyone signed off on the liability, and all I've got to do is make sure that I've got everything in the registration form that I need. That would be the place, and it's first come, first served, and we'll take care of kids for the day.
40 is a pretty ambitious number. What do you have them do?
We're working with the Park District on a variety of things. The Decatur Park District has just a fabulous summer program for kids in the parks, and they operate many, many different things. There will be a lot of recreation. There will also be, for kids who are going to be there for the bulk of the day, there will be an off-site trip to the Scoville Zoo, possibly the Children's Museum of Illinois. But otherwise, we'll do a lot of different recreational things with them at the Richland venue where we have the kid camp location.
Just past the bottom of the hour, 11:33 Central Time. You're listening to WILL in Urbana. This is AM 580. And the program is Focus 580. I'm Todd Gleason, sitting in for your regular host, David Inge, this morning. We're talking about the Farm Progress Show with Stu Ellis and Matt Youngman. If you'd like to join our conversation, please give us a call at 800-222-9455. That is, again, toll-free. Anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. 9455, of course, stands for WILL. Locally, you can call us at 217-333-9455. Matt, the earlier caller talked a little bit about some of the things that have happened in the past, the church involvement, the organizations that get involved. FFA usually gets involved, kids from many schools. And in the past, schools have shut down, actually, in the local area and provided some of the labor that is used at the Farm Progress Show for these not-for-profits. But you've moved things up just a bit, and I'm wondering whether you've heard, have schools decided to push back the beginning of their school year to accommodate Farm Progress shows into the August 1st day of September site start dates?
There is a rural school that's going to take some time off there during the Farm Progress Show. The Decatur schools are still going to be in session. Probably the biggest change in any school calendar is Richland Community College. In order to make the entire Richland facility available for the seminars that Stu is speaking of, and then also some of the commercial seminars that our exhibitors are going to be putting together, they are taking their fall break early so that there won't be any students on campus, and that'll eliminate that traffic during the week of the Farm Progress Show. So that's probably the biggest change in any educational schedule, and it's a great benefit to the show, obviously, to have that very large air-conditioned facility almost right next door to the show site.
In addition to Richland, the Argent Oriana School District is encompasses that part of the northeast corner of Decatur is also out of school for that time, and because they knew that there would be problems with bus routes both morning and afternoon, and so they didn't even try to hold school. But with the show date now prior to Labor Day, there'll be some school districts around really the Midwest that have not started up, and so we're hoping that a lot of those families would come sort of make a last vacation hurrah for the summer and join us.
And tell me, what problems were posed, Matt, when you decided to move the show dates from the end of September, which is when it's always been, the last week of September usually, always, I think, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the middle 3 days of the week, to the middle 3 days of the week at the end of August? What kind of special problems does that create?
Well, that obviously it creates some challenges and it creates some great opportunities for us to have the show then. You know, when the show started in 1953 and we were having live action field demonstrations, it was said to be crazy that we were picking corn at the end of September. Well, as time went on and technology advanced, it came to the point where the harvest was pretty well underway by the time the last Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of September came around, which were the dates that we had for the show for 50 years. So we wanted to get back out in front of harvest so farmers from further away could come and visit the show, and farmers could come that were local and spend more time at the Farm Progress Show. So we moved those dates last year. Last year was the first year for the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before Labor Day, and it was very successful. It got done what we wanted to accomplish, which was give growers the opportunity to come because they're not so pressured to be in the field. The unique challenges to it are that it is very aggressive to harvest corn at the end of August, and so we're planting some hybrids that are not necessarily bred for the area, and that creates some of its own special challenges. And then when we were at the end of September, you would get a mixed bag. When you packed to go to the Farm Progress Show, you'd literally throw everything you own in the trunk of your car and head out because it was for sure going to be hot and wet and cold and just about everything at that time of year. And at the end of August, it's either going to be nice or it'll be hot. And so we've had to make some special accommodations to try to keep the folks cool, the crowds cool, the air-conditioned restrooms, and having Richland right next door, which is air-conditioned, is going to be a big help. But I'd say that the biggest adjustments that needed to be made were in the area of that field demonstrations and in accommodating a much hotter day when the show is going on.
Boy, do I remember packing. I've worked the Farm Progress Show many years, and man, do I remember packing a whole load of different clothes just to come to any single day of the Farm Progress Show. Usually cold in the morning when you arrived at 5 a.m. and boiling hot sometimes in the afternoon and muddy and... Well, hopefully you will have gotten rid of at least the mud, and probably the cold won't be there either in
the
morning,
intent,
is my guess.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit. We have not talked about the outside of the show site, so that there are is it still 80 acres for the primary show site? Is that right, or thereabouts?
The exhibit area encompasses 80 acres. That encompasses the tent city and then some of the plots that are right on the north edge of the ground.
And then there'll be 640 there where there'll be demonstrations, and you'll shuck corn and have other demonstrations happening. 640 acres, by the way, for those who don't know, is roughly a mile square. I don't know exactly what the show site shape might be, but if you think about it in that terms, you get an idea of how large an area this actually encompasses.
And for our friends that don't know exactly, we keep speaking in terms of acres. An acre is about the size of a football field. So if you consider 80 acres in almost a square, that's how much area is covered in tents. And then there's 200 acres that is set aside as permanent parking areas, and then another 300 or 340, I can't remember the exact figure, that is field demonstrations. And that is one of the big benefits to farmers at the Farm Progress Show, is that if you're interested in buying a $250,000 combine, this is one of the few places that you can go and actually see all of the competitors in that industry running side by side in the exact same conditions. So it's a good shopping day for the farmers when they get to go out there into those 300 acres of field demonstrations and watch the tools that they're interested in buying run side by side. It helps them make buying decisions, more educated buying decisions.
Any special safety concerns this year for you as your indicator in a more urban area and are likely to attract audiences that have not been around large farm machinery and may actually be out in the field watching these very large, very dangerous machines at work?
That's a great point. And we take special care out in those field demonstrations. We use we mount stoplights on tractors and that will run along with the machinery so that the operators of the machinery can, if they can't see a danger, we can flip the red light on, and the operators will be concentrating on that and then the area around them. And we use ropes and loudspeaker systems and things like that, and safety is the utmost concern in that demonstration. And if there's anything in the demonstration that concerns us, anybody that's stepped out into the corn or anybody that appears to be getting close, we'll just stop the demonstration. And the crowd wants to see the machinery run. So the crowd, after we stop the demonstration once or twice, shut the whole thing down because one person steps over the rope. The crowd does a pretty good job of policing itself because they're out there to see it run, and they don't want to do anything to jeopardize the machinery operating in the field.
We have a caller from Urbana joining us this morning to talk about the Farm Progress Show. Good morning to you.
Hello. I just wanted to mention, as a non-farmer, who I took my two sons, who were both under 6 years old, I think it was when the Farm Progress Show was in Dewey, about 20 years ago, why it was one of the best events I think they ever went to, or that I ever went to, for that matter. So that I think there's a lot of different kinds of people who can get a great deal out of the Farm Progress Show. I think it is a superior activity for young people. And I saw one of the best close-up magicians that I've ever seen in my life there. So, I mean, it was really quite a terrific experience. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Hang on just a second. That's sort of an interesting comment. That there must have been a wandering magician of sorts, but that's not usually the case at the Farm Progress Show.
He brings up a great point. People ask what's going to be new at the Farm Progress Show, and there's always things that we are doing and all the work that Stu's doing to do new things at the Farm Progress Show, but keep in mind that we have 400 individual exhibitors out there that are racking their brains and trying to figure out the best way to get people to step onto their lots.
Mm-hmm.
So bands and magicians and you know, anything you could imagine, they will be doing there to try to attract potential clients to come in and have a conversation with them.
But beyond the magician, what impressed you, sir, most about the Farm Progress Show site? What was it that, as you drove up or as you walked around the site, that...
Well, I think the friendliness of the people, the willingness of all kinds of people to answer questions, and demonstrations of different kinds of farming techniques. My sons just found it fascinating. It was, in a lot of ways, better than the a county fair, because it didn't have actually the distraction of the rides and all that kind of thing so much. It was just a really interesting event for them, and it was for me too.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah,
we
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Bye-bye.
It is an interesting event by all accounts.
You can be a gog and a dither at a Farm Progress Show, whether you are 6 or 60. And with all the things that there is to see and do, it's not just entertainment, but it's education and opportunities to learn. And for folks who are of the non-farm ilk, it's a good place to bring a smaller one in the family and say, hey, Grandpa used to have a machine that was a lot smaller than this, but here's what it did. And there's a lot of folks who could come and educate youngsters about agriculture and share some memories.
And there is something for youngsters about farm equipment that is just unbelievably compelling.
Oh, it's big and it's colorful and you climb up a stairway onto a combine, and you can see for a long way.
I should mention that when we speak of antiques, we'll have an antique row area in the Farm Progress Show. And for our non-farm friends, it's interesting to walk through those antiques and walk up to a piece of equipment and say, okay, what is the current replacement for this? And they'll give you some number of some piece of equipment. Then you go find that on the John Deere lot or the Case IH lot. And the size difference will give folks a feel of the magnitude of the equipment and how far it's gone. I should also mention that the weekend before the Farm Progress Show in Rantoul, Illinois, will be the Half Century of Progress too, which Farm Progress is also affiliated with, and that is a purely antique show going on there in Rantoul. That they'll have antique field demonstrations and sort of an antique version of the Farm Progress Show, all of the equipment that you would have seen at the shows in the 50s and 60s and before that, operating in the field and doing something very similar.
And that show is really quite interesting. I did go by Rantoul yesterday, happened to see that the show site signs, at least, are up on the interstate there. Speaking of which, generally, sometimes, it's very hard to get in to a Farm Progress show, and the lines can be very long, especially if it's located a little more remotely. This one is not. What do you suspect will be the case for driving into the Farm Progress show? I suppose, as I look at it, because there's an interstate not far away, it appears there's really only one way to get into the show site.
There are actually two ways. We're going to have two primary routes into the show, and you bring up a good point. When the show has been out in the country, we have to work with what is there. We have narrow country roads, and the crowd can only flow at such a rate to enter into the facility. Now we have a new challenge here in Decatur, being so close. You know, there's a four-lane road right out there in front of the show site, and that will be running one way, four lanes one way into the show site up from the interstate. And then there's the other route for folks coming from Champaign and Urbana and points east. They will exit further east on I-72 and come down through country roads and enter the facility from the south side. And it's kind of a process where we find the best facility we can find with the best road access we can find, and then we have to work with the roads that we have, because there's just not enough time to make a two-lane country road into a four-lane interstate in the time frame we want. So working with the roads we have, we've got what we think is the best traffic plan that we can do given the infrastructure that exists. And I think that the best meeting I'm going to have all year, the best meetings we'll have all year, will occur in October when we wrap this thing up and take a look at it and say, what can we do better for 2007? Because normally, if there's a problem in the traffic route, it's just not something we can fix because we're never coming back again. Now we're coming back, and it's just going to do nothing but get better and better and better as we go forward.
Hmm. Where's the other show site for the Farm Progress show?
The other show site hasn't been announced yet. We hope to announce something on that soon, but it'll be somewhere in Iowa.
And you can't give us a preview? I know you can't. I'm sorry. I wish you could, but I know you can't. We have about 7 or 8 minutes left to talk with Matt Youngman, who is the National Shows Manager for Farm Progress Companies, manages the show site in Decatur, the new permanent site of the Farm Progress Show. Stu Ellis of University of Illinois Extension also joining us this morning. If you'd like to help us finish out this conversation, please give us a call at 800-222-9455. Again, that's 800-222-9455, toll-free anywhere you can hear us, or you can call us locally at 217-333-9455. It was mentioned that there will be many activities beyond the simple the demonstrations that are happening in the field, although those aren't particularly simple, and certainly there'll be a lot of equipment, but there'll be many things that the equipment manufacturers are using to bring folks into their tent. University of Illinois and Purdue, by the way, will be host to WILL and to WCIA, which is Channel 3. So those two land grants have gotten together and said, WILL, can you help us out? And would you like to be in the tent? Dave Dickey, who is the Director of Agricultural Programming here at the station, will be there. I will be there, of course, hosting programs throughout the day. Some of the programming you will be able to hear on this radio station. WCIA will be broadcasting, I think, from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., if I remember correctly. All those details.
Their morning show, anyway.
Yeah, have not been worked out just yet.
And I think there will be quite a bit of interest in that. The Big Top, the Purdue U of I Big Top, will really be focused around a stage and a lot going on in that stage, whether it is broadcast at the time or whether it's panel of university specialists at the time. There's quite a bit going on, broadcast or not. And one of the other things that Extension has also done is to obtain a low-power FM transmitter that'll be located there. That will get out 5 miles or so, and so people who are driving in will have the opportunity to tune in to 1610 AM for information as they approach the show site. There'll be traffic, there'll be weather, there'll be a lot of information about things that are going on the show, and so that's just another opportunity that Extension can provide some help to people who are going to be attending.
We have another caller that on our toll-free and is near Lafayette. Good morning to you. Do you have a question or comment that you'd like to...
I thought I'd tell you, I was out mowing hay, and for the non-farm people, they have something to do with the Quarter Horse Association there.
great point.
They can figure out whether they want to get their kid a horse or not. I think they have some kind of a ride or something. Try them out.
That's a wonderful point. The American Quarter Horse Association has annually two national rides and test rides. And last year, for the first time, they held their quarter horse ride at the Farm Progress Show. The previous record was 300 new people on horseback. Folks had never been on a horse before, climbed on a horse. And at the Farm Progress Show, by the end of the 3 days, there had been over 700 that climbed onto a quarter horse for the first time ever. And so we're going to continue that at this year's show. Up in the northeast corner of the grounds, we've got a large section of ground allocated to put out a number of rings for the AQHA folks, and they will be doing their test ride there. So that's definitely a don't miss, and I'm glad that gentleman called in to mention that. It's a wonderful addition to the show, and equine agriculture is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger in Illinois and in the Midwest. And this is a logical fit to the Farm Progress Show.
By the way, since you're calling from Lafayette, how did you feel about being in Decatur? And will you make the trip over?
We'll probably try to make the trip down. I'm not sure how many miles it is. I suppose down 41 on the west side of Indiana. And
130 maybe.
Okay. Yeah, that wouldn't be such a great deal. It's been fun when it's been around Lafayette. But we kind of never take a vacation, and that's just something we like to do, even though it's the same thing to do with farming. But it's a fun thing.
We'll be glad to have you, and I'll also mention that we've certainly made special efforts to accommodate folks coming in from Indiana. We've got the traffic route works very well from if you can find your way to 74 or Interstate 70, the traffic route from Indiana works very well. And then all of the standby Indiana companies, folks like Bex and Country Mark and Indiana Soybean, as well as not to mention Purdue University, they will all be participating in the Farm Progress Show, almost at the level that they would when the show was right there in their backyard. There'll be significant exhibits from those Indiana companies.
And the Indiana Department of Agriculture and its new efforts is also going to be putting on a seminar about a strategic plan for Indiana agriculture.
Those are all magnificent things. You know, we're running up on the end of the time here, and I guess as I look back over this Farm Progress Show seems to me, and probably maybe our listeners have gotten a sense of this, that this is a time in which agriculture invites everybody in with welcoming and opening arms, and the people who have gone believe that's the case, whether they be rural Americans and farmers, or whether they're like our friend from Urbana earlier, that we're just opening the house up, and I think I can speak in that way at this point, to come in and see what it is that farmers do, and farmers go to see all the latest innovations that have been happening in the world that they live within.
It's just a real big welcome opportunity. Agriculture and all these companies are welcoming farmers. Decatur is welcoming agriculture and everybody else. With a lot of other opportunities. And we have lots of red carpet over there that will be rolled out for whomever wants to walk upon it. And it's just something that this is an opportunity that has been provided by and for Decatur, and so we want everybody to benefit from it and however they can benefit from it.
Matt, one other question. Tell me a little bit about Tent City. How many tents are put up on the Farm Progress Show site? And then I think sometimes you speak of Farm Progress Show in terms of blocks, and it's three blocks wide and, what, 10 or 12 blocks long? Is this correct?
It's two blocks wide. There are three main avenues running north and south, and then 10 individual side streets. There are three north-south avenues and 10 east-west streets. And there will be, just the company that puts up tents for us will kick things off with the first five semi-loads of tents here at the end of the month, at the end of July. And there will be, I'd say there will be between 250 and 300 tents. The biggest tent on the grounds is ours. It's where the 10x10 booths all reside. And that tent alone is 66 feet wide and 486 feet long. So it's hard to miss that tent. It's the biggest tent on the grounds by far.
Wow, that is one that is one big tent. I didn't realize it was quite that long. I knew they were fairly wide, but that is a big tent. It's an amazing thing to watch those tents go up. And if you have the opportunity to go over before the show and just drive by the site to get an idea of what's happening,
yes.
Construction is really quite wonderful. And as we finish out, speaking of which, because this was started, as Stu said, about 20 months ago in the pre-planning process, and you don't have much time really to put the show site together. What will be completed and what won't be completed, do you know?
The infrastructure that we had promised to Farm Progress will be there. That's all of the drainage, the water, electric, restrooms, streets and roads. There will be a number of companies that will be putting up buildings over time. Since there's kind of a short time between now and the show, probably the only buildings, permanent buildings, will be going up are those companies that sell and market farm buildings to farmers, and they can go up in a week real quick. Over time, the next several years, we anticipate a number of companies putting up buildings that that they will be permanently either using or turning back to the Decatur community for their use. And so there will be quite an infrastructure, an outdoor convention center, and we hope a lot of economic development for Decatur. That's one of the whole objectives, is to bring economic development and jobs for that community.
Matt, a final question for you. Will there be, as at the last Farm Progress show here in the state of Illinois, will there be a concert of some sort with this one or sometime in the future?
Hold for breaking news here in the next two or three days. That's been off, and then it's on, and then it's off, and it, right now it's trending towards it's on, that we'll have a concert on Wednesday night.
And where's the show site in Iowa?
One other thing that I don't want to get off the air without mentioning is,
sure,
that folks that are interested in this thing all comes up in about 2 weeks, and it all goes down in about 3 days, and it's just very impressive to see all of it come up and go up and come down. And you can log on to farmprogressshow.com. We have a 50-foot tower with a live webcam that's constantly updating, showing pictures of the site as it goes up. So I'd invite everyone to log on to farmprogressshow.com and take a look at the webcam.
How much does it cost to get in?
The cost is $7 for adults and $3 for children, or $3 for student ages 12 to 17. Under 12 is free.
We thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Matt Youngman is the National Shows Manager for Farm Progress Companies, and Stu Ellis is with University of Illinois Extension. Stu, thanks for being on board with us today.
Just delighted to be here, and we really appreciate the opportunity for WILL to offer us here.
And gentlemen, I look forward to working with both of you over the next couple of months, helping to put some of this program together for University of Illinois Extension and parts of Purdue, and helping out with Farm Progress, and am really just delighted to be on board with WILL and the University of Illinois tent to broadcast some programming there live. That is this edition of Focus.